I think we were very blessed on Sunday. There was quite a response from the teaching the Lord gave us on that word, how we're to move forward, and how the Lord is also the rear guard, and how he's cleansing us from the past so that we can face each day and move forward. What a mighty God we serve. But before we start this evening, let's just commit our time into the Lord's hands. Praise his name. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight. You have moved in our lives and our hearts to come into this place, into this room, and to listen to your word. Father, help us to hear how you want us to hear. Help us to apply the seed of your word into our hearts so that we'll bring forth that fruit in that season and in that time. Lord, we thank you for our fellowship. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that we come under as our banner. And we thank you for the blessing over this room and over the connection and all those that come in now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Well, this evening I want to talk about prayer. And so often, as we know, the Holy Spirit will lead, and he will certainly lead us with regard to prayer and to praying. And we needed to be reminded of this. We need to hear this from time to time, because prayer is absolutely vital, as we're going to look at this evening. Prayer is so essential for our growth, for our fellowship, our relationship with God. Because if that's right with God, it's right with one another. And we know at times that prayer isn't always easy. The enemy probably really hinders where our prayer life is concerned, and he will always try and stop us from praying if he can. But tonight I want to show how the Holy Spirit helps and encourages us with our prayer and our intercession. That is indeed if we let him. And our title tonight for our teaching is The Holy Spirit Energizes Our Prayers. The Holy Spirit Energizes Our Prayers. And I'm basing this from something you know very, very well in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, of which I'd like just to read quickly to you. Romans 8 and verse 26, of which it says here, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we're clearly shown here that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. So God knows that we're weak. God knows that we're going to battle with this. God knows that we're attacked by the enemy with regard to this. So he has promised and he has said that he will help us with our weaknesses. But there's also another reason why we can be weak in prayer. And it says, because we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So we think we know how to pray. We think we know what we should be praying about, but many times we don't. And so because we don't really know what the Spirit is saying or leading or guiding, that is intellectually, then we become a bit fed up with it, or we become despondent. Because as usual, man likes to be in control. And he wants to be in control with regard to prayer and intercession. And very often we find that he's not going to let us in ourselves be in control. But we need to be in control by the Holy Spirit as he prays and he intercedes through us. And so we're going to see tonight with this teaching that we are very dependent on the Spirit of God for our prayers and intercessions. And this is why there's problems in the house of God. This is why there's not the prayer that it should be. If we really took all of this seriously and allowed the Holy Spirit to lead and guide, we would see the church much more triumphant in these last days than she is, sadly. But praise God, he doesn't want us making that mistake. Now, coupled with Romans 8:26, I want us to turn to also to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, just to remind ourselves of Christ's position now in glory as a high priest. And Hebrews 7, and we look at verses 25 to 26, just to familiarize ourselves again on the ministry that Jesus has taken on. And it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So his ministry now in glory is that high priest, high above the heavens, separated unto this, for this ministry. And what is this ministry of intercession? That he's able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him. So we get to God through him, and his ministry, or the nature of his ministry in intercession, as we're told here in Hebrews, is for salvation, to save to the utmost. So he's proclaiming, he's interceding, he's confessing a remnant, that remnant that God Almighty gave Jesus. And he's interceding, confessing our names before the throne of God, so that we make it, we come through as overcomers. Thank God for his ministry. Now, if this is the nature of Jesus' ministry now, at this present time, in glory, then we need to learn something from this, because what Jesus is, we are. And we stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And he is the head of his church. We are under his headship. And his headship at this present time is as a high priest, the high priest, interceding, supplicating, intercessions. So we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his leading and guidance in this, what Jesus is doing. Because what Jesus is doing in heaven, we should be doing on earth, because we emulate him, we copy him, we look to him, we seek him. You know, in seeking the kingdom of God, it's not just for our needs and our wants, but it's also seeking the kingdom so that we can pray effectively as well. There's so much that comes from seeking the kingdom. Jesus taught that great priestly prayer, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he's praying, and that's what we pray, that pertains towards all of that. So we need to keep those two scriptures very much in mind. And remember, in recalling our teaching tonight, the Holy Spirit energizes our prayers. You see, often we pray, many people pray. People pray when they're in trouble. People pray when they want something. Or people will pray when it's the last resort. Or we might say, I will pray for you, and I would say 9 times out of 10, even the worst of sinners would turn around and say, well, thank you for that. So there is actually a lot of praying that goes on, probably far more than we realize. This is something within man that will call out to God. But sometimes, sadly, it's too late. Or they're calling out in the wrong spirit, the wrong heart, the wrong attitude. Now, of course, we know that we need to be in faith, believing God, when we pray, when we call upon him. That is why we have been taught faith all over these years, so that we pray. We pray the prayer of faith. We're calling upon him. We're praying according to the will of God. But all of this, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, cannot really go any higher than our ceilings, than the rooms that we're in, unless it's energized by the Holy Spirit. And that is the emphasis that I want to place on tonight. You see, for us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we should be experiencing the Holy Spirit himself praying through us, which we cannot utter or understand ourselves intellectually. Because that is really what it's talking about there in Romans 8:26. It's talking about the Holy Spirit who is going to energize, who's going to use us, pray through us, and a lot of that praying will bypass our minds intellectually. And that's why a lot are not interested. That is why it doesn't appeal to many, because I cannot be in control. I cannot pray what I want to pray, what suits me, or what I feel, or so on. If we really want to pray, and to pray the prayer of faith, that our Father in heaven is glorified, we have got to learn to be led, quickened, energized, if you like, by the Holy Spirit, who will at times bypass the understanding. It's too deep. And this is what we're dealing with. This praying that we are moving into is deep prayer. It is powerful prayer. It is deep intercession. And it's allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. Now, I think at times in the assembly, we have been a bit complacent about praying. And something I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to me, because we pray in tongues, which sadly many churches don't really pray in tongues, they're not even encouraged or taught to do it, but somehow we've got this notion, well, I'm praying in tongues, therefore I'm supplicating, I'm interceding, I'm fulfilling Romans 8:26. Now, I hope that we are. And I'm sure there are times that we are. We have had blessed prayer meetings. But prayer, this sort of prayer, isn't just speaking in tongues. It's allowing the tongues which we speak in to allow the Holy Spirit to energize those languages. And there are going to be times in intercession where you move so deep into it, you will hear other languages coming forth. You will speak in different, diverse tongues, in a sense. Even heavenly languages. There are so many, many languages. There are probably myriads of languages. But the point that I'm trying to emphasize is that there will be praying, deep praying, even groaning in the spirit, which it speaks about, where you are, it becomes so aware that the Holy Spirit is praying through you. You're simply just that vessel available, praying it through till you know you've prayed it through. So often we have thought just an intercessor does this, or it's just a certain few in the church. But I believe that this can be for all, because it doesn't differentiate in Romans 8:26 that that's just for some. It speaks for those who are baptized in the Spirit, who have the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. So there's a place for all of us to experience this sort of prayer. And this sort of prayer will bypass your mind, will bypass your intellect. It won't be you, in a sense, involved. It is God praying through. It is deep. It is a warfare. It is a pressing in. It is remaining until you know that prayer is through. And these are deep things that come by the Spirit. And we're going to start to find our prayer meetings beginning to move on another level, which I believe what God wants. Because prayer is so important. Our intercessions in these last days are so important. We, as we've been shown so many times, warfare is so important. And I believe this incorporates warfare. But I know some still have a real problem with it. And your problem is, you want to understand it. You want to intellectualize it. You want to have a name for it or an answer for it. You've got to be in control. And God doesn't work that way always. These things are too deep. These things you can't utter. You're dealing with the realm of the Spirit. And sometimes it's too vast, too big for our finite minds. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. We intercede, we pray in the Spirit. We allow the Holy Spirit to take over. And we shouldn't be surprised when God takes over at times. You might see some saints performing under the Spirit quite oddly or differently. You know, we're very reserved, we British, aren't we? We all have to do it the same. We're all clones. But you know, I've been in meetings over the years sometimes when I've seen the Holy Spirit move in such a way where people may go on their face, or they may just march up and down like a lion in a cage, or some go into real tongues or whatever it is. That is the Holy Spirit, in a sense, taking over. Now, of course, he doesn't take over where we're out of control. That's not what we're talking about. Demons do that. But what I'm saying is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to have his way in prayer and intercession. And certainly, when you go into your closet and you get before your Heavenly Father, that is a unique and wonderful time and opportunity of which to be used to allow the Holy Spirit to take over and intercede and supplicate and warfare through you. And you know, that sort of prayer, many times when you're in the Spirit like that, you know, and you look at the clock, you've been in prayer 2 hours, 3 hours. And it's, where's that time gone? Because we were so moved by the Spirit. Now, we don't go by feelings in all of this, because at the end of the day, we still pray by faith. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul speaks about the whole armor of God here to the Ephesian church, which is interesting. And verse 18 is very applicable to what he's just spoken about with regard to the whole armor of God. Because he says, with that whole armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he's already talked about taking on the whole armor of God, you know, girding your waist with truth and taking the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and so forth, which of course we take up. But isn't it interesting that that is in context with prayer? Now, why is prayer and the whole armor of God and the whole armor of God and prayer so important? Because Satan is going to attack you so often in prayer. That's why. If you've never been attacked because of your prayer and intercession, then you've got to ask yourself whether you're doing it right. But if you know of these attacks and how Satan tries to hinder us or to stop us from praying, then you will see why the whole armor of God is so applicable with regard to having a prayer life. And as he says here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he says, praying with all prayer, the prayer of supplication. So it's all prayed, motivated, energized by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to cause us to be watchful, discerning, knowing what the devil's up to. And you will be well protected in your discernment, in being watchful, because you have the whole armor of God on you. Therefore, you've got that confidence to go into spiritual warfare. A lot of Christians haven't got this confidence of spiritual warfare because they're still not sure of their armor they wear. Or maybe God won't let them get it, go into that sort of prayer, because the armor still isn't right, and they'll be attacked or destroyed. And he says, to this end, with all perseverance and supplication, and also for the saints. And that's why, of course, we pray one for another as well. Praying one for another is absolutely vital, but it makes sure you're praying for your brother and your sister in the Spirit, not in a judgmental manner, or in a wrong heart, or whatever it would be. This is why, you see, the enemy tries to hinder or destroy our fellowship, because he knows that if we're in fellowship, harmony, unity and oneness, then that's going to result in saints praying both individually and corporately. And if you're not finding yourself praying much with your brothers and sisters, then it could just be that the enemy, you're listening too much to the enemy. Or there's still unforgiveness, resentment, or these things, these problems that we have, all of which will stop you praying and interceding and being led by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God uses the believer in which to offer his or her prayers of intercession. And we have to see that we are those living temples. Our whole being, our whole body is a living temple, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, and verse 19, which I'll read quickly to you, you know very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So we have to see then that we are, in a sense, temples of God. We're walking tabernacles. And therefore, if that is what God says we are, and I've already just read it to you there in 1 Corinthians 6:19, then we're going to see, like in Jesus' ministry, Jesus cleanses his temple, his house. And let's turn now, if we will, to Mark 11 and verse 16. We all know this story very, very well. But I think we're going to see some of the problems, why it is we are hindered or we don't pray as we should, whether individually or corporately. Mark 11, and let's look at verses 16 and 17. 16 and 17. Actually, let's go from verse 15 of Mark 11. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturn the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Something that one can tend to overlook, but it says in what we've just read there, he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. What does that mean? It means articles, those merchandise, those traders selling things, things that we like, things for the flesh, things that appeal to us, and so on. He said none of that is to be sold in the house of God, in the temple. And he cast all of that out. All the money traders, those that were trying to sell doves for sacrifice. It was all a hindrance. It was sin. It was making the temple of God defiled. And what was the reason? What was he trying to show? He was trying to show that prayer cannot be offered in that environment. It'll go no higher than the ceiling. And this, brothers and sisters, is a lot of our trouble. This is why our prayers go no higher than the ceiling so many times. Because we've defiled the temple of God. We've allowed the money changers. We're so caught up with the world, our wants, my needs, what I want to buy, things that I want, and so forth. And he says, that is a hindrance to your prayer life. And you see, he won't allow us to use our bodies for our own convenience. Now, God says he will provide all our needs. Yes, he will bless us and so forth. But not at the means of you defiling the temple, your temple, your body. It doesn't mean to say that you're going off to a nightclub or you're going to go out with a prostitute or whatever it is. We're not talking about that. I mean, people do that. We're not. We're talking about the motive of the heart. What your heart is yearning for, what it's lusting for, what it wants. Because all the while your heart is on ungodly things, and even your hobby can be ungodly if you're thinking all the while on it or lusting after it. It can be anything. It can be food. It can be drink. It can be clothes. It can be anything. If your mind is on these things, it hinders your prayer life. It hinders you from the prayer that we're talking about here, which is allowing the Holy Spirit to energize your prayers, your intercessions, your supplications. Because this is what we're talking about. And so Jesus was showing something here by casting out those traders. And you could see he was angry. It was a righteous anger he got there. And why was he doing it? Because he knew that that hindered prayer. My house is a house of prayer. Very few Christians, very few churches will ever call their meeting place or the body that comes together, this is the house of prayer meeting today. But that's fundamentally what it is. Or it's always for fellowship. It's always for worship and praise and ministering of the word. And all of that we like because that entertains me. I can come and I can listen to that. Ah, but when you talk about prayer, that means I've got to get my life right. That means I've got to seek God and get myself right with God before I join my other brothers and sisters. It means that we have to get out of our comfort zone. It means that I have not only a hearer but a doer of the word. And that's why it fails so much. in assemblies, in churches. And sadly, at times, it does even with us in the church. Because it means that I have to do something about it. I have to change. It starts with me, Lord, you see. And as Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's why we're walking tabernacles. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God is working with us to keep it undefiled, clean. And I know that's not easy. Those temptations are there. But if God says that, and God says he can do that, then greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How he's going to do it, I don't know. But he says he can and he will. And that's, of course, why he's the high priest, supplicating, interceding. That's what he's praying for you and I. He's praying right now that we can take prayer seriously. That we can be those vessels clean, coming together in true unity and oneness and fellowship to pray and supplicate. Because there's power when two or three are praying together, as the scriptures show us. But you know, all of this is dependent on my yielding and also on the light that we have. Obviously, God isn't going to deal with us or judge us if there are things we don't yet see. And that's the mercy and grace of God. But what we do see now, brothers and sisters, and what we're seeing tonight with our eyes being opened by this word, then we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work that in and through us. And yielding ourselves over to him, in which he'll do that. But this type of prayer, this is the spirit that energizes our prayers. This type of prayer comes from the purity of the heart. And this is a lot of the problems. Our hearts are not always pure. Our hearts at times are still hindered. They're hindered by the things of the world, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life. Those things that we still look to, that we want, that we're craving for, and so forth. These are the things that God is dealing with. And this, of course, is why we always come back to the cross, of which we take up daily and follow the Lord. It is that that will deal with these things, if we let him. And he will do this. This is not impossible. But what we clearly do see is that no man can do this in his flesh. It is impossible. But as we yield over to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, he will fulfill those things of the Spirit. And he most certainly will quicken us and energize us for our prayer and our intercession. I don't honestly believe, and this just comes from experience, but I don't honestly believe Christians will really ever take prayer corporately, that is in the church, seriously, until they have learnt to start praying on their own before their Heavenly Father. Because everything stems from that. If you're coming before God with that pure heart, you're coming before God, waiting on him, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, to anoint, and to guide, then you take that with you. That can be experienced with other believers. As you are experiencing this prayer life that God wants us to have with him, then something about that prayer life and what you're experiencing from God, you're going to project. It's going to touch other people. Is going to touch your brother, sister in the church, or when you come together for prayer and intercession. This is why it's important that we touch one another in that sense. This is what the love of God does. The love of God touches each other. And all of this comes out of love. If we love God, we love his church, we love the brethren, then our prayers are going to be heard. They are powerful before God. They're going to be energized by the Holy Spirit. But if we're all the while falling out and having problems with brothers and sisters and are critical and judgmental, it hinders the church's prayer. And those hindrances are like the merchandise, the traders, defiling the temple of God. That is why it is important when we come together for prayer, that before we come, that we have been in prayer, that we our hearts are right, that we're prayed up, that we've had time with God, so that we're ready then to join our brothers and sisters and get into prayer and intercession. And we're going to find that the Holy Spirit's going to take those prayers. He's going to mold them. He's going to use them. He's going to direct them in the right direction to his Heavenly Father to glorify his name. That is why he's the high priest there. He takes that. And if you like, he molds it. He presents it before the Heavenly Father. Because we know that Jesus' Father will never deny him anything. Whatever he asks, the Father will give. That's why we can ask confidently if our prayers line up with the Word of God. You have that assurance. You have that confidence. But alas, brothers and sisters, we don't always have it, do we? We're never quite sure sometimes with our prayers. We're hindered with our prayers. And it's the problem at times is because it's not coming out of a pure heart. To pray with a pure heart, you need to give yourself time. You need to have time with God. You need to talk with him. Maybe you need the blood of Jesus to cleanse, because there is some problems. You are holding resentment, anger, bitterness, those things that so easily defile us. We need to have that time with God in his presence so that he can touch us and we can be washed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The same as he's doing that tonight, as he's cleansing us, washing us with his word. This is why all of these things are so important for us. As well as hearing the word, coming for fellowship, being washed by the word of God, also going before God in prayer in your closet so that he can cleanse you, cleanse your conscience, deal with your heart, so that you are always ready, available for your brothers, your sisters, for true fellowship when we come together in the house of God. That is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to energize our prayers, our intercessions, so that we have that assurance that we know our prayers have been answered. Did you know there is a knowing to prayer? Jesus knew when he prayed. He knew the Father had heard him. He simply got to go and enact and walk and do what that intercession and prayer required. And sometimes his prayers, intercessions were all night, or he would get up early in the morning. Sometimes we need to be open to that God may just get you up early, or he may get you to pray through the night. You say to me, oh, that could never happen to me. Well, of course it can. It can happen to all of us. Our God is a God of miracles. He can do things that you can't do. The problem is that intellectually, in our minds, we say these things, that we can't do it. And this is why prayer has to bypass the mind, has to bypass the intellect. Because by doing that, it is bypassing the weaknesses that are attached to our intellect, to our mind. Now, of course, we know in the natural this can't be done. But we've heard very clearly tonight, as I finish with this now, that if the Holy Spirit energizes, anoints our prayers, our intercessions, and we know that that bypasses the mind, which is to do, then we're going to find ourselves praying, and sometimes praying right through the night. And you'll get up off your knees after 4 or 5 hours of prayer and say, praise God, that was God that did this. You see? And that's what he wants to do. He wants to encourage us, to show his power, his glory, his ability, to encourage us so that we realize it doesn't lie in us. It lies in the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And that really is what Romans 8:26, Hebrews 7:25-26, that we've been talking about tonight, that's really what it's all about. And even with putting on the whole armor of God, he ends that by, in Ephesians 6:18, of praying in the Spirit. So that whole armor you've got is coupled with prayer. Look how powerful that is, putting the enemy to flight, dividing his hold, his kingdom. And yet so many Christians are bound up to spiritual warfare. And the reason being is because I don't think they fully understand what the armor's about. If you really want to understand what the armor of God is about, you'll know if you have a real spiritual prayer life, because you'll see much of it in operation. And then we see that we're to present our bodies, that our bodies are to be those temples of filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wants to keep those, our bodies, our whole being cleansed. Just like he was showing with the house of God, the temple, casting out the traders, the moneylenders and so forth. The hindrances of the world, those things that we still lust for, that we want. They all have to be put to one side, cast away, because it's a hindrance to prayer, you see. Now, God will do this. You've been greatly challenged tonight, and rightly so. But God is simply showing us that none of this lies in ourselves. It says we yield over. It says we make ourselves available. It says we desire, we want it. And so often, these teachings that we have are to be taken by you personally into the presence of God in your closet and to pray them through what you've heard. This is how you grow by the word of God. This is how faith comes. We often talk about faith comes by hearing the word of God, but that faith to believe, that those seeds of faith to be sown in the heart, a lot of that is as you take what you've heard and you take it before your Heavenly Father and you pray, you talk it out, you make it a source of prayer. That's how often you grow in faith. It's not just simply hearing it. Of course that is important, but it's how we hear it, and it's what we do with what we hear. So none of these things can be avoided. They're all very important principles for us to grow, develop, and mature in these last days. But remember this, this type of praying that we've been talking about this evening, the Holy Spirit who energizes our prayers, this comes from a heart that is pure, open, and holy before God. In other words, having that right attitude. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us on something that's very important. Because a church and the state of the church, or how the church is spiritually, is really characterized by its prayer life, ministry, the teaching of the word. Much of it is characterized by prayer. Everything is wrought by prayer, as your word declares. So Lord, please help us with this. Our hearts are like the disciples when they ask the Lord, teach us to pray. We can't do it, Father, in ourselves, but we are open, we are available. We wish to be taught. We want to pray what we've heard tonight, Lord. We want the Holy Spirit to quicken, to energize and take our prayers so that our prayers harmonize with yours, that we are one with you in prayer, in supplication, in intercession, and so on. Father, I pray that you would grant this to us both individually and corporately, but especially, Father, as a church. We know the enemy will try and hinder this, and he does try. And he will use all sorts of things in which to hinder us. And we know, Father, that many churches, they're so divided, so many problems in the churches, and the reason being is because he doesn't want the church to pray. But let not that be of us, Father. Let our hearts be right and open and pure before you, and our consciences cleansed by the blood of Jesus, so that we can be open and ready for prayer. Lord, please use us. If it means praying through the night, we're open, available. Maybe getting up sometimes early in the morning, we're open, we're available. We're open to pray anytime, anywhere, any moment. Let us have that attitude and heart to pray always and wherever, at any time, knowing that you hear us. And so, Father, I thank you again tonight for our fellowship. I thank you for the brothers and sisters who have come into the room. I pray that you'll ever bless, preserve, and keep them from the evil one. Father, that they will continue to be cleansed, kept by the blood of Jesus. Give your angels charge over them, both when they go out and when they come in. And Lord, I pray that you will ever bless, and that we will always glorify your name. We ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.